Quetzal, 1. That is correct. I've explained a few things to you in relation to this. 2. A large and worldwide debate around genetic research will already soon have its beginning, but it will first be in a lot of people's mouths at and around the turn of the millennium. 3. Also, the question of the beginning of the incarnation will then be raised again in a strong form, and in this connection, all sorts of false suppositions and polished nonsense will dominate the agenda, especially through the pseudo-scientific and pseudo-religious false assertions and ideologies of the know-it-alls, fanatics, politicians, parish staff, theologians and, of course, through the sectarians, false prophets, media, and alleged contactees, as well as through the Pope, whose predecessors, being absolute amateurs in the matter of the beginning of the incarnation, already felt eager for hundreds of years to spread their nonsense. 4. Thus, Pope Pius IX, among others, absurdly maintained and made the doctrine that Joseph's wife Mary, already from the moment of Jmanuel's conception, carried a reason-gifted soul in herself and that already at conception, the fertilized egg was animated by the soul, and so, Jmanuel's personality and his reason had already existed. 5. But the fact is that there is no soul because in truth, this is identical with the psyche, which could have allowed the fertilized egg to become filled with reason, but that in truth, it exclusively deals with the spirit form which is capable of rebirth, that is the spirit. Nothing of this was mentioned at all. 6. But this could not have been otherwise since this Pope had no notion of the teaching of the spirit and of the actual creative laws. 7. Therefore, the inventor of the dogma of Mary's Immaculate Conception made an absurd assertion out of self-craze and arrogance as well as out of unreal thinking, etc., namely with regard to the fact that he would be absolutely immoderate and incorrect in that with the celebration of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, something would be worshipped and celebrated that would be without reason, and with this, the fertilized egg was meant. 8. That's what happened in the year 1854. 9. Years later, in 1869, he then changed the canon law in order to give validity to his nonsensical assertion. 10. Yet up to that time, it was such that the fetus was inanimate up to 80 days after the conception and the value of animation was only granted to it starting from the 80th day. 11. In addition to various other things, this 80th day was also important for abortion because after this time, one became punished with an excommunication. 12. As a result of the absurd assertion of Pope Pius IX, from then on, an excommunication inevitably took place with each abortion because the new rule was that through a sperm, the fertilized egg would already be animated in the body of the woman and, thus, would be filled with reason and would respectively be an indivisible individual, as this term was adopted from the Greek word that is transliterated as atomon. 13. But this acceptance of the individual and of being filled with reason are actually absurd because as you know, the animation of the fetus takes place via the spirit form on the 21st day after conception, with which also the heart begins its rhythmic activity, and thus begins the existence of the individual because at the same moment, when the rebirth, that is the reincarnation, of the spirit form takes place in the fetus, the new personality, along with the entire consciousness block, becomes born into new life. 14. Furthermore, it must be said that prior to the 10th day after conception, which can vary, still different processes in the fertilized egg take place, as for example the division into twins. Translator's note, the original Greek word is T? Micro? Dot also, transliteration occurs whenever all letters of a word from one language are simply converted into their corresponding characters of the other alphabet, into which the word is being transferred. So the above German word, Atomon, would be transliterated into the English language as Atomon. Billy, you explain that just like a doctor. Quetzal, 15. Like to, I've also learned this specialty. 16. However, I've already explained this to you before. Billy, unfortunately, I forgot. But now, so that no confusion rises, If I should still take in later conversation reports and write this down, maybe it would be useful for understanding and such that once again, it is explained that the term individual is actually a transliteration of the Greek word atomon, as you've already said, and that this indivisible can also mean single being. In addition, it is also important to say that the origin of the term individual is actually connected with the term atom. But today, the designation individual stands for the single person, to which also scholasticism has contributed. Quetzal, 17. That is correct. 18. As a result of scholasticism, the meaning of individual found a specification for the human personality, and then, in the 16th century, it developed into the special person. 19. In today's German language, but also in other earthly languages, the term individual finds its meaning as a single person, as you rightly said. Billy, you are also a German expert. Quetzal, 20. All of us, who keep in touch with you, have learned the German language very extensively. Billy, Svith also spoke this language very well, but also my dialect. Quetzal, 21. That is well known to me. Billy, he also instructed me in a good form in the German language, and with him, I also learned to write and to read, which was a reason for my first teacher, he was named Karl Graf, to take me, in a special measure, under his wing. Quetzal, 22. That is also known to me, also that he was led to you by Svith's telepathic impulses and that he spoke about you with his friend, Carl Gustav Jung, whom you later became acquainted with in Zurich, when you visited your handicapped sister, Verena, in the Matilda Escher home, and you made yet another visit to the psychiatric hospital, Berghälslei, where C.G. Jung was visiting. Explanation: teacher Karl Graf, with whom the little Eduard, Billy, visited during the first three school years, was not only one of Eddie's great friends, but he also stood on friendly terms with priest Rudolf Emanuel Zimmermann and with the well-known psychologist and psychiatrist, Professor Carl Gustav Jung. Karl Graf had been enlightened by the little Eduard in reference to his contacts with the extraterrestrial Svith and, as proof, even once received the opportunity to be allowed to observe his aircraft, with Svith's permission, in Irakfeld in Bulak, when Eduard went to a contact. A contact with Svith was excluded, but the experience was enough for the teacher to promote, from then on, the scholastic progress of the boy entrusted to him, also partly in his spare time on a private basis. At the same time, it couldn't fail, of course, that Karl Graf was faced with many questions from Eduard, which he also answered, faithful to his knowledge and understanding. If he couldn't do this, however, especially when it came to strictly psychological and life-related matters, then he contacted his friend, Professor Carl Gustav Jung, to whom he had reported of Eduard, as well as of his sighting experience regarding Svith's aircraft. The professor saw no reason in Karl Graf's remarks not to accept them as truth, as he also found no reason in them not to take a stand and not to let Eduard's questions go unanswered. Interested in the boy, who asked such profound questions, he requested a photo from the teacher, in order to be able to make himself a mental picture of Eduard. Teacher Graf procured the photo and handed it over to the professor for examination, who made himself an exact mental image of little Eduard. He also told his little niece, Lou Zinsag, of the young Eduard, which was the real impetus for the fact that she became interested in extraterrestrials and their aircraft and that she began to strive in the course of her life for all attainable photographic and written material and became a world-renowned UFO researcher, who didn't let herself be easily deceived. In consequence of this, in the 60s, she got into a discussion with the Briton Timothy Good, who told her of a Swiss by the name of Eduard Meyer, who lived for some time in India and about whom the New Delhi newspaper, Statesman, reported as a contact man to extraterrestrials. Of course, Lou Zinsag tried to get in contact with Eduard, who, in the meantime, in Persia, by an American woman named Judy Reed, had become known as Billy, a name that would always remain with him, but she couldn't discover where he lived. But through a happy stroke of fate, It happened when she was staying with the American UFO expert and former Air Force Colonel Wendell Stevens, who already knew the Billy of whom she spoke, and he also gave her his whereabouts with the exact address information. Upon her return to Switzerland, she made an abrupt decision to make her way to Billy, with whom she then talked for a very long time, and she gained rock-solid insight that all details of the contact man, Billy, corresponded to the absolute truth and that there was no deception or lie. An insight that she also represented until the end of her days. Still as a young lad, Billy got to know Professor Carl Gustav Jung personally. At the same time, the personal acquaintance came about through a happy stroke of fate, whereby the following happened, together with his mother, Billy. At that time still Eduard, in the Matilda Escher home in Lurich, visited his sister Verena, who had been severely physically disabled since her birth and who had been staying there. From there, he set out on his short trip down to the psychiatric hospital, Berghälsli, where he still wanted to pick up an acquaintance, who visited her sick father there. As Eduard was waiting for the acquaintance in front of the main entrance, a man unexpectedly came to him and asked if he was, indeed, Eduard, the former student of Carl Graf. He had seen a picture of him that the teacher had shown to him, and as far as he could tell, not much had changed. He was Professor Jung, the friend of the teacher, the one who had always answered the difficult and unusual questions for him. This resulted in an intensive conversation between the two, which lasted for 46 minutes, and it was finished when the acquaintance, for whom Eduard had waited, stepped out of the main entrance. After the dismissal, Professor Jung and Eduard went their ways and never met again. Excerpt insertion, Brockhaus Lexicon, Jung, Carl Gustav, Swiss. Psychologist and psychiatrist, born in Kesswil, Canton Thurgau, the 26th of July 1875, died in Kusnacht, Canton Zurich, the 6th of June 1961, from 1910, professor in Zurich, came from the psychoanalysis of S. Freud but then developed his own teachings, analytical psychology, of the psychological energy, of the individuation, of the individual and collective unconscious, of the archetype and the types of the consciousness attitude, introversion, extroversion. J. also dealt with occult phenomena and, among other things, worked on psychotherapy, religious and mythical research, ethnology, educational theory. Since 1948, the C.Q. J. Institute has existed in Zurich and since 1957, the International Association for Analytical Psychology. Works, Transformations and Symbols of the Libido, 1912, Extended, Symbols of Transformation, 1952, Psychological Types, 1921, The Relations Between the Ego and the Unconscious, 1928, Psychology and Religion, 1938, Essays on a Science of Mythology, 1941, From the Roots of Consciousness, 1954, Memories, Dreams, Reflections, ed. 1962. Billy's Explanation, with the Unconscious, C. G. Jung identified the subconscious. January 30, 2004, 12:46 a.m., dictated by to a, Billy, ah, that I did not know. Now I understand a few things better. I could have imagined that myself. That was probably also the reason why he so encouraged me in the German language and drilled me in such a way as also Svth did. Quetzal, 23. That is correct. 24. If it wouldn't have been for Svth, then with certainty, you wouldn't have been able to read and write so well at the age of only 6½ years. 25. And if teacher Graf also wouldn't have assisted you, then you could not have already composed those written works, which you wrote in your youngest years. 26. Those were amazing little works. Billy, thus, you know. Quetzal, 27. That is correct because Svth was also one of my teachers, and of course, he spoke with me regarding your person and task. 28. He also presented your works to me, which he recorded constantly. 29. And when I had studied these works, I decided to be assigned to your mission and the connection with you. Billy, there, things come to light again. Interesting. Quetzal, 30. But it should remain there for today because you aren't supposed to be burdened too much. 31. I still have just a brief explanation to deliver, with regard to what was presented, in reference to the incarnation, that is the animation of the fetus by the spirit form. 32. As revealed from a look into the future, the absurd and erroneous claim, that from the moment of conception, that is from conception to human life, the fetus would be a reason gifted life form and, thus, an individual, will recently be reaffirmed, maintained, and taught, again by an ignorant layman, with respect to the rebirth of the spirit form and its animation of the fetus. 33. This new crazy teaching is again generated and developed by an erring religionist, namely by a certain cardinal layman, who will express himself in this way on the 10th of June, 1991. Billy, thanks for the explanation. But to assert that distance is supposed to be taken from predictions. Quetzal, 34. That is correct, but that has nothing to do with the predictions hastily agreed upon by us. 35. And now, farewell, my friend. Billy, you are suddenly in a hurry. Quetzal, 36. On the one hand, it's about your health, which is why I shouldn't strain you too much, but on the other hand, I still have to settle the tasks that I'm assigned to. Billy, of course, I understand. Then until the next time. Until we meet again. Quetzal, 37. So be it. 38. Farewell. 201st Contact Wednesday, June 5, 1985, 12:18 a.m. Billy, so, my friend, today, I would like to ask you about what is actually up with the destroyer. In the past, you once said that you would strive to remove this wandering planet from the Sol system but that you must be entitled or mandated to do so by the High Council and by the Arathasata level because it concerns a major intervention in cosmic events. Is this still valid? Quetzal, 1. Yes. 2. But the whole thing might still drag on for another 10 to 15 years. Also in terms of the technical possibilities that we must still acquire in order to be able to carry out such an enterprise. Billy, if you should actually be ordered to do so and if you can carry out the enterprise, what happens, then, with the prophecies that are given in connection with the destroyer, as well as with the Earth, Mars and its moons, and with the Sun, etc. These would then have to fall flat, nevertheless, because completely different and new prerequisites would emerge. Quetzal, 3. That is correct. Billy, if the destroyer should disappear from our system, then entirely different events would arise, in relation to the destruction of the Earth and the passing of the Sun and so on? Quetzal, 4. I already said that this is correct. 5. If the changes of the Sun and the planets result, without the influence of the destroyer, then in about 380 million years, the Sun will already be incorporated into processes, through which an excessive activity will emerge, by what means all life on Earth will slowly start to become extinct, and in about 470 million years, no floral, faunal, and human life forms can exist on the planet anymore. 6. In about 4 billion years, the Sun will only exist as a dead, that is shrunken, dark, and inactive, star, along with some inactive planets, which will still float, together with their burnt-out Sun, through free space for around 6 billion years and, thus, a total of about 10 billion years after the denaturing of the Earth, in order, then, to be pulled in by a black hole and be compressed by its heavy mass. Translator's note. The German word inactive or dung, translated as denaturing above, is literally translated as inactive becoming and, thus, includes the time when the Earth initially starts to become inactive, and also the time following this, as a result of the increased radiation that it receives from the Sun, which will begin the slow extinction process. Thus, according to Quetzal's information, the denaturing of the Earth will begin in 380 million years from now. Billy, However, the earthly scientists don't proceed from this stata that you just mentioned. They say that the Earth will still exist for 5 to 10 billion years and will probably still carry life until then. Quetzal, 7. That is known to me, but they have no knowledge about the fact that the greenhouse gas, CO2, plays a very important role for the Earth and that if the sun irradiation becomes too strong, which will be the case at the time mentioned by me, then the CO2 rapidly disappears. 8. However, this stands in very important connection with the sun irradiation because if the radiation becomes too strong through the penetrating heat, then the moisture-bearing clouds evaporate, as well as the waters of the streams, rivers, lakes, and seas, by what means the greenhouse gas ultimately becomes removed from the atmosphere. 9. This means, however, that an automatic cooling takes place. 10. But this cooling will only be of a relatively short duration because the increasing radiation of the sun, which slowly starts to swell, slowly dries up the planet completely when all the liquid has evaporated, after which the Earth's surface then starts to glow, and the soil as well as the rocks of the mountains become liquefied. 11. The time for this will be when the sun is a red giant and liquefies the inner planets and pulls them into itself. Billy, but all life on Earth, so I suppose, will already no longer exist for a long time prior to this process, except thermal bacterial life, right? Quetzal, 12. That is correct. Billy, good. Then still another question. On my great journey, I saw a very fine ring around Jupiter, similar to Saturn's ring, which was so fine, nevertheless, that it cannot be detected, that is cannot be seen, from the Earth. The question now is this, whether it can now be seen and photographed, nevertheless, with the large telescope that is supposed to be brought, in about 5 years, into an orbit around the Earth? Quetzal, 13. You mean the Hubble Space Telescope, as it will be called. 14. No, an observation will hardly be possible up to then because this Jupiter ring already stands in dissolution and might already be gone in less than a year. Billy, oh, I see. But now it interests me as to how this ring formed, also the others around Saturn, etc. Can you tell me something about that? Particularly, I am interested in Saturn's ring, which has such beautiful, reddish, and partly deep red colors that alternate in the different ring layers. Quetzal, 15. All rings of the Sol system's planets trace back to comets, as well as to their tails. 16. With Saturn, these came from a number of comets that left behind fragments and tail matter around the planet and, as also with Uranus, accordingly produced a visible ring that is divided into different layers and a number of other smaller rings and also exhibits different colors, as you've already said, whereby light a very strong red coloring particularly stands out. Billy, and why is Jupiter's ring so weak? Quetzal, 17. With this planet, only a single and small comet worked, therefore, only a very small ring developed, but which will soon be dissolved, as I already said. Billy, and when was Jupiter's ring formed, then? Quetzal, 18. It is still very young. 19. The exact date when it originated is unknown to me. Billy, so then, still another question. The planet Phaeton, that is Melona, was, at an earlier time, where Mars now draws its course. Did the life zone still extend out to this planet? Quetzal, 20. That corresponds to the truth. 21. The life zone, as you call it, still reached out, about a billion years ago, to the former location of Mars, so to roughly 400 million kilometers. 22. Then, about 75,000 years ago, at the time of the destruction of Phaeton, Melona, the sun developed a sudden high level of activity, whereby much more solar energy was released into the vastness of universal space in the area of the Sol system, which unleashed a tremendously strong evaporation on the planet Mars, which had fallen to its present orbit. 23. All CO2 settled down into the ground, whereby the planet practically died of thirst and became a red and black dry desert. 24. In the same train occurred the phenomenon that the life zone mentioned by Yu shrank within a few months and only the Earth still remained in this. 25. In 380 million years, however, the Earth will also slowly slip out of the life zone, and in 470 million years, the greenhouse gas CO2 will be so reduced through the increased energy of the sun, or rather through the evaporation of water, that nothing can exist anymore because all plants will have passed and no more oxygen will be able to be produced. Billy, and where does the CO2 disappear, then? Quetzal, 26. I explained, nevertheless, that it will settle itself into the ground. Billy, ah, so you mean that it will, so to speak, deposit itself into the soil. Quetzal, 27. That is correct. 28. But now, I should go again. Billy, still one or two questions, please. Quetzal, 29. But then it must be enough. Billy, so be it. Can you tell me whether you know how many Earth-like and, thus, habitable planets there are in our galaxy and when foreign planets will finally be discovered by our astronomers? Quetzal, 30. The number of Earth-like planets in this galaxy is unknown to us. But we have estimates that amount to an acceptance of around 49 million, and also in accordance with our estimates, about 7 million of these planets carry life. 31. Your question, then, 32? Terrestrial scientists, to whom I also count amateur astronomers, will already discover the first Earth foreign planets in a few years, after which, around the turn of the millennium, already a substantial number will be registered. 33. But there will be no planets among them that are capable of carrying higher life. Billy, then still one last question. If in accordance with your statements, the Soviet Union and the GDR, East Germany, can seal their end in the next years and the communist government disappears, then the Cold War will finally end there and there will be peace, and also the bombs and the rockets and the like will be destroyed? Quetzal, 34. The Great Cold War will seem to find an end in an official form, but secretly, it will continue. 35. Thus, the show will be deceiving, and real peace will be as distant as ever. 36. Bombs and rockets will likely be destroyed to a certain amount, namely through corresponding disarmament treaties that will be agreed upon and signed between America and the Soviet Union, that is Russia. 37. Yet everything will be nothing more than a show because in truth, only outdated weapon systems and, thus, useless scrap will be dismantled and destroyed and will be replaced by new, modern systems. 38. Thus, everything will be nothing more than a deception toward humanity, while the major players renew their weapon systems in a confidential manner. Billy, typical. Thanks for your remarks. Then I don't want to delay you now any longer. Bye then, and greet everyone quite dearly for me. Quetzal, 39. I will do that. 40. Until we meet again. 202nd Contact Saturday, August 24, 1985, 2:38 p.m. Billy. What do you think in terms of the things that have to do with the area of sex? In my view, everything slowly gets negatively out of control.